The passage today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 to verse 11, and that's on page 1155 in the Church Bible. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed.
Now, there are certain momentous events, and you can remember exactly where you were when you heard the news. Some of you older ones can remember probably exactly where you were on Sunday, September the 3rd, 1939, at 11 a.m. because that's when Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister at the time, gave his broadcast announcing that Britain was now at war with Germany. Some of you probably didn't hear the message because you were probably at church at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Get your priorities right after all. But a lot of people can remember exactly where they were on September the 3rd, 1939 at 11 a.m. I can remember a day in November 1963 when I got home from school and on the television, which was of course black and white in those days, it actually said that President John F. Kennedy had been shot in Dallas, in Texas. I can remember coming through the door into our living room, and the television was on, and I can remember seeing or hearing on the television what was happening in Dallas, in Texas. And then I can remember September the 1st, 1997. Where was I on September the 1st, 1997? I was at Joan Perkins' breakfast table. I just started here at Park Street Church, and there was nowhere to live in Kendall at the time, so we spent Saturday night at Joan Perkins' house, and we were sitting down for breakfast, and Joan Perkins came into the room with the news that Princess Diana was dead. I don't think I'll ever forget that either. And then, of course, September the 11th, 2001. Tuesday, September the 11th, 2001. One of the strangest church visits I've ever made. I was visiting Fred King and Mrs. King in Webster's Yard. And I arrived for the visit, and they were glued to the television set. And I found myself just sitting watching the television with them. I'm afraid that's all I did on that visit. They wouldn't switch the television off. And we saw the aeroplane fly into the second of the Twin Towers. And then we saw the first Twin Tower collapse, and then the second Twin Tower collapse. It was the strangest visit, probably, that I'd ever made. You can remember certain events like that, can't you? You can remember exactly where you were when you heard those events. And sadly, they're often bad news. They're often bad news. The word gospel means momentous good news. Momentous good news. It's astonishingly good news. It's the sort of news that you really ought to be able to remember where you were when you first heard it. Although the trouble is that many of us here have known it from almost the beginning of our lives, and we've grown used to it, and we've forgotten just how marvellous it is. The word gospel was used in the New Testament world, the Roman world, for instance, the news of victory in battle, a great victory in battle for the Roman army, or the birth of an heir to the throne, which would probably mean there wouldn't be any battles or wars, because a legitimate heir to the throne had been born, and that was good news, that was gospel. In the Greek version of the Jewish Old Testament scriptures, the word gospel is used for the good news that the captives in Babylon, the Jewish captives in exile in Babylon, were going to come home. They were going to go home back to Israel after 70 years of captivity. That was gospel. That was good news. The word gospel means momentous good news. And it's different from any good news you've ever heard before, because it's God's good news. It's the gospel of God. It's God's good news for the world. Remember when you used to watch the television and you'd be in the middle of your favourite program, Coronation Street, Britain's Got Talent, and there'd be a news flash. Your favourite program would stop. And this boring man in a suit would appear at a desk. There would be a news flash. And he would give you an important piece of news, which he thought was far more important than Coronation Street or Britain Has Got Talent. This is news. Stop everything. You must listen to this. You must get this. That's what the word gospel means. God's news flash to the world. Well, what is the good news? What is God's good news? The good news is that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Jesus of Nazareth has been raised from the dead. That doesn't mean he returned to life as we know it, just to die again. That wouldn't have been, well, it would have been amazing, but it wouldn't have been particularly good news to come back to this life just in order to die again. He's been raised to a new kind of life, in which he will never die again. So the good news is that he has broken the curse and the rule of death in this world. That's the good news. Somebody has broken the rule, the curse of death in this world. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Now let's be clear what we're talking about here. We're talking about something that actually happened. We're talking about an event in history. We're talking about news. Now, if it didn't happen, it's not news. It's not good news, it's not bad news, it's just not news at all if it didn't happen. So we're not talking about some private spiritual experience that some of Jesus' followers thought they'd had. There was an article in the Times on Monday, I think. They've been covering the resurrection of Jesus in the Times this week pretty well every day. There were two very good articles yesterday, one by the Bishop of Durham, Tom Rice, and another by Professor John Polkinghorne, who was the professor of mathematical physics at Cambridge University until he resigned from that and became a vicar. And he wrote a tremendous article on the resurrection of Jesus in yesterday's Times. But on Monday there was a terrible article by a New Testament scholar, not a Christian, and he said, well, he finds it hard to believe in empty tombs and raised physical bodies, but he said the real miracle is that Jesus rose again in the hearts of his disciples. The real miracle is that Jesus rose again in the hearts of his disciples. What rubbish that is. I'm not interested in Jesus rising again in the hearts of his disciples. That's not news at all. That wouldn't even get on border news. Unlike some other people. All right, some of his disciples found that they were still inspired by his teaching and his personality. Big deal. You could say the same about Churchill. You could say the same about Elvis Presley. In fact, there are people in America who say the same thing about Elvis Presley. You could say the same thing about Princess Diana. We're not talking about that at all. Forget that. We're talking about resurrection. We're not talking just about Jesus surviving after death as a soul. That's not news either. There's nothing newsworthy about that. The word resurrection means bodily resurrection. It means that everything that was put into that tomb dead came out alive. That's the news. That's the good news. And there's nothing like it in the ancient world. Everybody in the ancient world either believed that after death you were dead and that was it, or they believed that something like your soul or your spirit survived apart from your body. That's what everybody believed. We're not talking about either of those. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus' body, a totally unexpected event. And this was an event that could be witnessed, as we've seen. It was witnessed by eyewitnesses. The survival of the soul can't be witnessed unless you believe in ghosts or something like that. And Jesus actually said after his resurrection, "Look, I'm not a ghost. Spirits do not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." We're talking about the resurrection of the body. We're talking about an empty tomb. We're talking about a body that can be seen and touched and heard. We're not talking about something spiritual. We're talking about something real, something physical. Why is this good news? Well, let me give you three quick reasons why it's good news. First of all, it means that Jesus is all he claimed to be. Jesus is all he claimed to be. Jesus claimed that he'd come from God. He claimed that he was God's son, special son. He claimed that he was the king, the Messiah, that the Jews were expecting and had been expecting for centuries to come and deliver Israel and deliver the world. Jesus claimed to be that figure. Now, it's often been pointed out by Christians that the one thing that Jesus could not have been was the thing that most non-Christians believe about him, i.e. that he was just a good man. That's the one thing Jesus could not have been, just a good man and nothing more. A good man doesn't go around making the sort of claims that Jesus made if they're not true. A man who goes around making the sort of claims Jesus made can be a bad man, or he can be a madman, but he cannot be a good man. Well, Jesus was neither bad nor mad. He was good. But he stood before a human court and they rejected his claims to be from heaven, to be from God, to be the Saviour of the world. They rejected his claims and they crucified him as a bad man and as a blasphemer. So he died in disgrace. What does the resurrection mean? The resurrection means that God reversed that human verdict. He turned that human verdict upside down. You've probably read, and it happens quite recently, quite often recently in the law courts, that a prisoner who's been in prison for some time will appeal to a higher court, and the higher court will reverse the verdict and he'll be set free. It happened recently. What happened at the resurrection? Jesus appealed to the highest court in the universe. He appealed to the court of God. And God reversed the human verdict about Jesus. And God said his yes to Jesus. We said no to Jesus and we crucified him. God said yes to Jesus and raised him from the dead. So Jesus is who he says he is. That means it's foolish to ignore him. He is Lord. He is King. He is the one from God. It's foolish to ignore him. That's the first reason why the resurrection is good news. The second reason why the resurrection is good news is because it means that sin has been paid for in full. Sin has been paid for in full. You may well ask this question. If Jesus was all he claimed to be, and if God raised him from the dead to prove that he was all he claimed to be, why did God let him die in the first place? Why did Jesus have to die at all? Why did God just not stop him from being killed? Well, that's a good question. And the answer to that question is the heart of the gospel. It's the heart of the good news. And it says in the passage that Robin read earlier from 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. There was a reason why Jesus died. He died for our sin. Jesus came into the world not just to be our king, not just to be our ruler and our Lord, but to be our Saviour. He came to rescue us from sin and death. His name means God to the rescue. That's what it means. Now, according to the Bible, something has gone terribly wrong with human beings. One of the words that the Bible uses to describe what has gone wrong with human beings is this word sin. It's only one of the words that the Bible uses to describe what has gone wrong with us. It uses words like rebellion. It uses words like disobedience. It uses words like idolatry, which means worshipping other things other than God and putting them in God's place in our lives. I've often defined the word sin like this, S-I-N. S, shove off God. I'm in charge. N, no to your ways. If that describes you, you're a sinner. If ever you've said to God, push off God, shove off God, I'd rather you weren't around. You're a bit inconvenient. Shove off God. I'm in charge. No to your ways. That's sin. Now the whole human race has sinned. And sin has ruined our relationship with God and with other people. And sin has cast this shadow of death and judgment over our world. But the Bible says that God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to rescue us. What did Jesus do? Well, amazingly, the king took responsibility for his subjects. That's what kings ought to do. Take responsibility for their subjects. So what did Jesus do? Well, amazingly, astonishingly, he absorbed sin and death and judgment in himself. He took the blame for all that we had done wrong. And therefore he took the punishment on our behalf. Christ died for our sins. And that's what happened on the first Good Friday when Jesus died. He died for our sins. And because he died, and only because he died, when we turn to him, when we surrender to him, when we stop rebelling and surrender to him as our ruler and as our Lord, then it means that we can be pardoned, we can be forgiven, and we can have a relationship with God, and we can be part of his kingdom which will never ever pass away. That's the good news. Christ died for our sins. That's the second reason why the resurrection of Jesus is good news. Sin has been paid for in full. And of course the third reason why the resurrection of Jesus is good news is that death has been conquered. One day, and I do want you to hear this, and I'll be saying more about this tonight. One day, God is going to do for all Jesus' subjects what he did for the king. He raised Jesus from the dead, and he's going to raise everybody who believes in Jesus and who knows Jesus and who is in Jesus' kingdom, he's going to raise them from the dead as well. We're not just talking about survival after death. We're talking about resurrection. We are going to be raised when the Lord Jesus returns in glory at the end of this age. He is going to raise his people from the dead. He's left us in this world to proclaim the good news, which we're trying to do this morning. And he's promised to return as king and to set up his kingdom, where there will be no sin and there will be no death, and we will be raised to share in that kingdom with him. Death has been conquered and will be conquered. That's the good news of Easter. So the good news is that God has raised Jesus from the dead. This means that Jesus is everything he claimed to be, so you can't go on ignoring him. And it means that sin has been paid for in full. And it means that death has been completely conquered. So there's nothing to fear. If you're a Christian, you don't have to fear death at all. Jesus has conquered it. That's the good news. The other side, of course, is the bad news. I've given you the good news first. I'll give you the bad news now. What if we continue rebelling against God? What if we continue to refuse to acknowledge Jesus as our ruler and our Lord and our King? What if we continue to ignore all that Jesus has done for us when he died for us on the cross, on that first Good Friday? Well, the resurrection means that you haven't seen the last of Jesus Christ. You haven't seen the last of Jesus Christ. And we're going to meet him again. And we're going to meet him soon. And if we don't meet him as our Saviour, we'll meet him as our judge. This is what Paul said to the philosophers at Athens. He said, God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. God has fixed a day, Let's get it right. God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. So the judgment day is as certain as Jesus' resurrection day. That's absolutely certain. That's historical. There is another day which is equally real, which is equally certain, and it's the day of judgment. And if we continue to ignore Jesus the King, Jesus the Ruler, Jesus the Saviour, then we will meet Jesus the Judge. There's no two ways about it. So my call to you this morning on this Easter Sunday is to turn from rebellion and trust yourself entirely to Jesus Christ and become part of his kingdom, which will never pass away. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from sin. Be baptized in his name and enter into his church and become a Christian this morning. Don't sit on the fence. Don't put it off until you've thought about it a little bit more. You've had all the evidence you'll ever need this morning. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and do it today. That's my message to you this Easter morning. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for this great day, and that even greater day, that first Easter day, when Jesus rose from the grave. The stone was rolled away and he came out alive. And we thank you that makes all the difference. What is life without you? What is life without someone who has conquered sin and death? All there is sin and death. Just more sin and death. That's all there is without Jesus. Oh Lord, we thank you for the hope that Jesus has given to his people. And we pray that there will be many here this morning and in other churches throughout the land and indeed throughout the world during this Easter period. Many people who will give themselves for the first time to the Lord Jesus Christ. Part us now with your blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.